coming Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd, Issues Etc. 24. It's a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 3 in the afternoon Central Time on November 2nd through 3 in the afternoon Central on November 3rd. Issues Etc. 24, Friday, November 2nd, and Saturday, November 3rd. Listen live at issuesetc.org.
Church is Christ's institution, the parachurch, man's. Not that the parachurch is a bad thing, but what happens when the parachurch takes the place of the church? Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later in this hour, we're going to be talking with Dr. Mike Horton about the church versus the parachurch. In the meantime, to talk about media coverage of religion, Sarah Pulliam Bailey is our guest. She's a contributor to GetReligion.org and online editor for Christianity Today. Sarah, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
This is going to be the last time we're talking to you as a contributor to GetReligion.org, and you're taking up this new position with the religion beat as well. What are your thoughts? I wanted to get your general thoughts on religion news coverage. What has changed recently about the religion beat?
Yeah, so when I started with Get Religion about 3 years ago, there wasn't really this thing called Twitter that was kind of dominating the news cycle. I mean, it was there, but people weren't really using it as much as they are now. And then also, of course, the recession has impacted especially newspapers and magazines, shrinking budgets, and religion as a beat is often one of the first to go, because if you think about it, the religion section in your local newspaper probably doesn't make a lot of money on the ads that they're trying to sell. So religion as a section is often the first to go, and then so goes the religion reporters and editors with that.
So let's talk about some of those things that didn't exist 10 years ago, largely in the area of social media, which has not just become a way of people to, you know, deal with one another one-to-one. It's become a way of dealing with a mass audience, which is obviously, at least in my mind, a new form, for good or for ill, of journalism.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing is people will say, oh, I read this piece of information. Well, where did you get it from? They don't remember if it's coming from CNN or the New York Times or whatever. They just look and they say, oh, it was on my Facebook news feed, or it was on my Twitter feed. A lot of people aren't thinking about where, traditional news outlets, their role in sort of filtering the news. It's just if they see it on their social media feed, that's where they're hearing it. So, and that's changed how we think about journalism, too. We're often thinking about how we can get our stories on Facebook, on social media. So instead, about maybe 5 years ago, everyone was talking about search engine optimization, where you would want your stories to do really well if somebody were to search for it on Google. Well, now everybody wants their story to be shared well on social media. So it's social media optimization is the hot new thing.
Now, you say in that respect, especially with regard to religion stories, there are some reporters that may be undercutting their own work by showing their biases. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so around the Chick-fil-A fiasco this summer, we saw some people using Twitter and Facebook to kind of reveal what they really thought about Chick-fil-A, or what they thought about groups they would call anti-gay or whatever. And so I think, it's funny to see what people really think on social media, and that can get people into trouble. I mean, there are so many new rules coming out on social media from news organizations, how to remain unbiased, even as you're trying to give some flavor or personality to a story. So it's a real challenge for reporters to try to think in terms of social media, but then also not compromise themselves as a reporter.
You talk about the religion filter, so to speak, and because religion is everywhere, how, and it is pervasive, how does a reporter decide when something is a religion story or whether or not to emphasize a religion angle in a story that may be bigger than just its religious angle?
Yeah, I mean, there are some obvious religion stories, like a denomination passes a bill on something, and all of a sudden they're ordaining, you know, maybe women priests or gay priests or something. That's a religion story. But then when I say religion angle, I think a lot of reporters miss sort of the religion aspect of a general story. And they don't have to dwell on the religion, but often you'll see these on features. On, here's an example, like on an athlete. They'll talk about maybe Tony Dungy and some of the outreach he does, but they never, but they sometimes miss kind of the element that of faith, where Tony Dungy is driven as a person of faith, he's driven to do good things. And so so when you only cover the fact that Tony Dungy is doing X, Y, or Z on dads or in prisons or the outreach that he does, but you don't mention his faith, you're leaving out the aspect of the why factor. Why is Tony Dungy doing these things? And so that's the difference between, I think, a religion story and a story with a religion angle.
Well, then there's kind of erring on the other side, which is the whole Tim Tebow story that was stopped being about the guy being a football player almost entirely.
Right.
It started being about
right.
the guy's personal faith and how he uses it on the field and things like that. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like all the Tebow stories in that he really is known for kind of the religion element of that. He's kind of a polarizing figure because even though he's a good athlete, he's not one of the best. And so people will criticize him for thanking God for winning, you know, winning one game, but then the next game he might lose. And so he's not obviously good player in the same way that maybe Kurt Warner was. And so there's a little, you combine the discussion over whether he's an excellent athlete, and then you combine, you know, his faith, which people see as polarizing, and you have a great story for sports journalists for them to catch on, because the fans really like to talk about it.
Speaking of sports, you also have some concern about in sports coverage, how, and you mentioned this just a moment ago, how it is one is able to fold in the religion angle that is so often a part of a legitimate sports story.
Yeah, so I think occasionally, you know, like I said, some sports reporters look at the religion angle and they think it's cliche. They think it's a tired story. So, for instance, Gabby Douglas, the winner of an Olympic gold medal, or maybe several this summer in the Olympics, Gabby Douglas, the gymnast, was, you know, had this faith background, had this faith story, and I think a lot of reporters were like, oh, not again, not another athlete who wants to attribute their win to God. And so I think occasionally you'll see reporters just kind of ignore the religion aspect just because they think it's cliche. But there are ways to keep it fresh. Grantland did a piece on Mo Isom, who is... well, anyway, I won't go into the details, but I thought it was really well done in the way that it showed this athlete's background. The reason, you know, why she continues forward every day and why she works so hard is that she has this faith kind of grounding her. And if you ignore that, you ignore a big part of her story.
So one of the things that has reoccurred several times in our conversation here is that religion reporting is often either viewed by the journalist or by the reader or by the editor as something that is a cliche. It's, do I include this because they're saying things that sound rather hackneyed? Is there a way for a journalist beat reporter to tell these stories again and again? Some of them are the same stories in a new and fresh way.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are definitely religion angles popping up here and there all the time with new and surprising information. You'll see it on the campaign trail. Right now, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama aren't wanting to talk about their religion, but when you dig deeply and you ask more people around them, how often do they go to church? How often do they read the Bible? How often are they sort of acting on their religion? How much do they tithe or, you know, give to the religious organizations? I think you can find new and interesting stories every day in any beat that have to do with religion, because religion is such a big part of, especially Americans' lives. You can easily find kind of a religion aspect in generally any beat that you're covering. So, it's been interesting to kind of see all the different ways journalists go about it in the past 3 years that I've been with Get Religion.
So an example of that occurred to me recently when Governor Romney released tax returns, and it was reported in the media that he underreported his charitable giving so that he could remain within a certain percentage of taxable income. And I thought to myself, well, that is obviously a religion angle there, because as a Mormon, his charitable giving is a very boilerplate part of their religious practice, but I didn't see it pursued. Is that something the kind of thing you're talking about?
Yes, definitely. Absolutely. And part of that is sort of a lot of reporters who don't specialize in religion are sort of terrified of religion. And so they know it's there, but they don't know how to cover it, especially when you have reporters who look at numbers, they look for facts, they look at observable features. But I think as a reporter, you can still quantify and qualify. You can find data on religion, or you can pursue those stories pretty easily, as long as you know you're willing to ask the hard questions or maybe uncomfortable questions. It's kind of like I consider it, you know, like when a sports journalist is doing a profile of a female athlete, sometimes it's awkward to ask for her weight, you know, how much she weighs and how tall she is. I think the same thing can be true for religion coverage. Yes, it might be a little awkward to ask about the religion, but it's okay if you do. You'll probably find a good story out of it.
So what can you tell us about your new position with Odyssey Networks?
Yeah, so I moved to New York City about 2 weeks ago. I am the managing editor of this multimedia outlet that covers religion, especially through video news. So So I'm in New York City.
still a little taken aback?
Yeah. So I was with Christianity Today for about 4 years, and I covered the election there. I did a lot of cool things there. But for me, it was just time to take a new direction. And what I really want to be doing is covering religion through multimedia. So this will be an exciting time for me to do that.
Sarah Polian Bailey is a contributor to GetReligion.org and a managing editor of Odyssey Networks. Sarah, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, Dr. Mike Horton will be our guest. We're going to be talking about the parachurch versus the church. One is instituted by Christ. The other one, well, it's an organization contrived by man. But which one is more prominent in American evangelicalism? Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn, right after this. What is the biggest misconception about the worship wars? I've written an article for the latest issues, etc. journal titled Behind the Music, The Real Worship War. You can read it by subscribing to the Issues, etc. journal. Just look for the subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The latest journal also contains Hisham Chihab's article, From Muslim Extremist to Follower of Jesus. Subscribe to the online Issues, etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Will your church be one of the Issues, etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues, etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues, etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues, etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues, etc. 300.